From scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
I am Nigel Payne.
Hi Nigel, how are you doing?
I'm all right, a long way away from you. I think probably the furthest apart we've ever been physically. Not intellectually, but physically for a long, long time.
So go on, where in the world are you?
I'm in Australia. I'm in Melbourne, Australia, where it is a beautifully sunny early evening towards late-ish evening, while you're in Bath on a cold morning, I would imagine.
Yes, thanks for that. Right, moving swiftly on. Happy New Year. This is our 51st episode. This week we're going to test something out, a little bit of a test bed. It might be a little bit longer, but it depends whether Nigel can answer these questions how quickly he can answer these questions. So this is about making sense of learning. Now, this might be a little series that ends up on LearnPatch, but we're not sure yet. So I've got five questions, Nigel, and I'm going to kick off. The first one is, what are the challenges for L&D professionals in 2016?
You can answer that really, really simply. Just be relevant, be engaged. Be part of the shifts and meanders of the workforce and the economy and the businesses or the organisations you work for. Just hang in there as it goes round the corners and up and down the hills.
So you describe the ups and downs. So what are those shifts in organisational learning that are impacting on how L&D currently works?
It's not so much what are the shifts in learning, it's what are the shifts in business. I think one of the biggest shifts is the realisation that the human beings who work for you are pretty much your competitor. And if you don't keep them agile and thinking sentient human beings, you will be competitively disadvantaged, whatever you do and whatever kind of organization. So walk center stage, probably for the first time, L&D, or run off and hide L&D. And I think the run off and hide L&D is pretty much doomed.
Okay, so... how are organisations responding to these kinds of shifts then?
Firstly, they're starting to listen to what it's like working for an organisation or what it's like to be a customer of a particular operation and turning that experience into pathways for improvement, essentially. So, you know, make it better to deal with that organisation if you're outside it. Make it better to deal with that organisation if you're inside it and align those two things. So it's the same old, but it's new in another way too, because kind of for the first time, this is what we've got. You know, there's not a lot you can do better than creating agile and flexible and resilient employees. And non-agile, non-resilient, inflexible employees will bring you down sooner rather than later.
Okay, so how can L&D grow their impact then, if this is the context, both at an individual and team and business level?
By listening, by intervening and being proactive and not reactive, and by thinking strategically. So in the face of those kinds of changes, there is a learning frame, and L&D's job is to use that learning frame to explain and try to solve or contribute to the solution of those problems. So you can sit there mute or you can actively engage using the only frame that no one else really has a share of, and that's the learning frame. And the learning frame can offer insight and it can contribute towards solutions and developments.
Are there any exemplars here? Who would you recommend as doing a good job for others to go and search out?
Go talk to Nick Shackleton-Jones at BP. I did an interview with him on Learning Now TV, and it'd be well worth searching for that interview and just listening to Nick talk about the new role for learning, which is totally different from setting up large courses. It's much more about finding appropriate resources in an appropriate medium, delivered in an appropriate way, and doing it fast and being judged by the impact and results rather than by the quality of the learning or any other such kind of more frivolous evaluation.
So thanks, Nigel. That's fantastic. That draws us to an end of that little interview. You've been in the hot seat, quite literally, because you're in Melbourne. Just to remind everyone again that you're sunning yourself and we're all freezing in the Northern Hemisphere. But that's really good. So what we'll do with that is we'll publish this interview. If the sound quality went a bit up and down, which it may have done, I apologise, but I think we got pretty much 99% of everything you said. So, Nigel, thank you very much for your time.
Martin, it's, as always, a great pleasure. Thank you.
From scratch.